is Unexpected with Hannah Love. In this podcast, you will gain a new perspective of how God loves you enough to call you to things that you couldn't have imagined for yourself.
Hi, guys. I want to talk to you about one of our partners, Crew. It goes without saying that the Bible has changed my life. My life is what it is because of what I've learned in the Bible. But imagine for a second that you couldn't get a Bible, that you couldn't hop on Amazon and get one sent to your house or even afford one. Take it a step further and imagine that you aren't even allowed to have one. Honestly, sometimes we forget that there are people, so many people around the world who simply can't get a Bible. That's why we're thrilled to partner with Crew. Crew is one of the largest evangelical organizations with over 25,000 missionaries in almost every country. Crew is giving Bibles around the world to people in their own heart language and sharing the hope of Jesus. But here's where they need your help. For only $21 a month, you can provide 3 people with Bibles each and every month. When you sign up to provide 3 Bibles with a monthly gift of $21 as a thank you, Crew will provide meals to 5 hungry families through their humanitarian aid ministry. Simply text Crew, spelled C-R-U, to 71326 to help today. Imagine just how much this gift could change someone's life. So text Crew to 71326. That's Crew, C-R-U, to 71326 to help now. Or visit give.crew.org/unexpected. Message and data rates may apply. Life. It happens in seasons. Just as God appoints times and boundaries for the seasons in a calendar year, I believe He also appoints a time in our lives for certain seasons to begin and end. They serve a purpose and are a part of a greater whole. For most of my growing up years, I was, for lack of a better word, timid. This is a quality that lasted well into my young adult life. As I entered my 20s, I found myself in a really unhealthy relationship. Worse than that, it was rather abusive. Without going into too much detail, I'll just call it a season of my life. It served a purpose. And to be honest, it served as a defining part of my life as I shifted from timid to determined. Determined not to be a doormat again. Determined not to be used, taken advantage of, or taken for granted. It was, in fact, the first time in my life I asked myself if my situation was one that God would want for His daughter. The answer was a resounding no, of course not. And by that standard, I began to see myself in a new light. By that standard, I started to really consider myself God's child, a daughter whom He loved and delighted in. This season shaped the perspective I believe God wanted me to have all along. I was a daughter of the King, beloved and chosen. That leads me to the question, who are you? Do you know who you are in God? Knowing that answer, really knowing it deep in your heart, will change your life. Let me give you an example of a few people in the Bible who knew the answer to this profound question. Reading from Daniel, I will start from chapter 1. During the year of King Jehoiakim's reign in Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave him victory over King Jehoiakim of Judah and permitted him to take some of the sacred objects of the temple of God. So Nebuchadnezzar took them back to the land of Babylonia and placed them in the treasure house of his god. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, his chief of staff, to bring to the palace some of the young men of Judah's royal family and other noble families, who had been brought to Babylon as captives. Select only strong, healthy, and good-looking young men, he said. Make sure they are all well-versed in every branch of learning, are gifted with knowledge and good judgment, and are suited to serve in a royal palace. Train these young men in the language and literature of Babylon. The king assigned them a daily ration of food and wine from his own kitchens. They were to be trained for 3 years, and then they would enter into the royal service. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were 4 of the young men chosen, all from the tribe of Judah. The chief of staff renamed them with these Babylonian names. Daniel was called Belteshazzar, Hananiah was called Shadrach, Mishael was called Meshach, and Azariah was given the name Abednego. But Daniel was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and wine given to them by the king. He asked the chief of staff for permission not to eat these unacceptable foods. Now God had given the chief of staff both respect and affection for Daniel, but he responded, "I am afraid of my lord the king, who has ordered that you eat this food and wine. If you become pale and thin compared to the other youths your age, I'm afraid the king will have me beheaded." Daniel spoke with the attendant who had been appointed by the chief of staff to look over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. "Please test us for 10 days on a diet of vegetables and water," Daniel said. "At the end of the 10 days, see how we look compared to the other young men who are eating the king's food. Then make your decision in light of what you see." The attendant agreed to Daniel's suggestion and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, Daniel and his three friends looked healthier and better nourished than the young men who had been eating the food assigned by the king. So after that, the attendant fed them only vegetables instead of the food and wine provided for the others. God gave these four young men an unusual aptitude for understanding every aspect of literature and wisdom, and God gave Daniel the special ability to interpret the meanings of visions and dreams. When the training period ordered by the king was completed, the chief of staff brought all the young men to King Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked to them, and no one impressed him as much as Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So they entered into the royal service. Whenever the king consulted them in any matter requiring wisdom and balanced judgment, he found them 10 times more capable than any of the other magicians and enchanters in the entire kingdom. Okay, I'll pause here a moment to draw your attention to an important point. This first chapter notes that one of the first things the Babylonians did was rename the exile boys that they had taken captive. See, it was customary to give new names to slaves. Essentially, it was an effort to erase their past. In this passage, there are 4 Judahites mentioned by name: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. These were their given names at birth. In Hebrew, this is how they translate. Daniel means, "God is my judge." Hananiah means, "Yahweh is gracious." Mishael means, "Who is like God?" And Azariah means, "Yahweh has helped." These are some strong names. Immediately, the chief eunuch gave them new names. Daniel became Belteshazzar, protect the life of the king. Hananiah became Shadrach, command of Aku, which is the Babylonian moon god. Mishael became Meshach, who is like Aku. And Azariah became Abednego, servant of Nebu, also a Babylonian god of wisdom. These new names spoke volumes in terms of what the Babylonians' intent was. They intended to erase the old identity of these young men and turn them into servants of their culture and their gods. I just wanted to point out this development before we move on into the rest of the story. Now, I'll summarize this next portion to speed us along. After these young men had officially entered the royal service, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Eventually, Daniel is called in to tell the king his dream and interpret it. God was with Daniel, and so he was able to. Not only that, but he was then appointed chief governor over all of the wise men of Babylon. Daniel then appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to manage the province of Babylon. So now, I will begin reading straight from the Bible again for the rest of the story, because it really is only the beginning. Beginning in Daniel chapter 3. King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue, 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide, and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then he sent a message to the high officers, officials, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the provincial officials to come to the dedication of the statue he had set up. So all these officials came and stood before the statue King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald shouted, "People of all races and nations and languages, listen to the king's command. When you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and other musical instruments, bow to the ground and worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. Anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace." So at the sound of the musical instruments, all the people, whatever their race or nation or language, bowed to the ground and worshiped the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. But some of the astrologers went to the king and informed on the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "Long live the king. You issued a decree requiring that all people bow down and worship the gold statue when they hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and other musical instruments. That decree also states that those who refuse to obey must be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you have put in charge of the province of Babylon. They pay no attention to you, your majesty. They refuse to serve your gods and do not worship the gold statue you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage and ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him. When they were brought in, Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods or to worship the gold statue I have set up? I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I have made when you hear the sound of the musical instruments. But if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then what god will be able to rescue you from my power?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue that you have set up." Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face became distorted with rage. He commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual. Then he ordered some of the strongest men in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So they tied them up and threw them into the furnace, fully dressed in their pants, turbans, robes, and other garments. And because the king, in his anger, had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, the flames killed the soldiers as they threw in the 3 men. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. But suddenly, Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, "Didn't we tie up 3 men and throw them into the furnace?" "Yes, your majesty, we certainly did," they replied. "Look," Nebuchadnezzar shouted, "I see 4 men, unbound, walking around in the fire unharmed, and the 4th looks like a god." Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stepped out of the fire. Then the high officers, officials, governors, and advisors crowded around them and saw the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their heads was singed, and their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell of smoke. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted in him. They defied the king's command and were willing to die rather than serve or worship any god except their own god. Therefore, I make this decree. If any people, whatever their race or nation or language, speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be torn limb from limb, and their houses will be turned into heaps of rubble. There is no other god who can rescue like this." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to even higher positions in the province of Babylon. There are so many lessons to pull out of this incredible story. But today, I wanted to point out a truth that is so practical. These men knew who they were. More than that, these men never forgot who they were. Facing an outraged king, these men stood before his question, "Who is the God who can rescue you from my power?" And their names answered, "Yahweh is gracious. Who is like my God? Yahweh has helped. And though he was not present, Daniel's name, meaning God is my judge, also rang forth from their demeanor." They stood unflinching in the face of radical pressure, radical politics, radical culture. They stood knowing who they were and whose they were. What a testament. They had no way of knowing that God would rescue them. And indeed, they were still thrown into the furnace, but they weren't alone in it. And they came out unscathed, not even smelling of smoke. I have to believe that God loves standing by his children as they stand in truth. Stand in the knowledge that they are his and therefore have freedom from the pressures of anything else. Today, I pray you'll take this lesson as a reminder. Remember who you are and whose you are. There is freedom and security in understanding God's design for you. Thank you so much for listening today. If this episode has encouraged you, please feel free to share it with your family and friends. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world today, and my hope is that this show is a candle in the dark.